Hi all, I'm Joanne, and I love to chat. And that's because I didn't speak at all before. And I said my first words when I was 16. Can you imagine? I'll start my story from a doctor's appointment. I was about 5 years old at the time. The doctor kept looking into my mouth and frowning. After the examination, he informed my parents.
The girl is perfectly healthy. She just doesn't talk because she doesn't need to.
He wrote it on a piece of paper. My parents were deaf-mute. They were afraid that their disability had somehow passed on to me. But it turned out that I just didn't need to use speech. The doctor added,
if you want the girl to speak, you should rather send her to school.
But we were poor, and my parents, because of their peculiarities, had problem with work. And our little village didn't even have a school, because for them, communicating with the outside world was not an easy task. I went shopping, I did household chores, and sometimes I helped with their work. I even fixed my dad's computer myself in the evenings after household chores. I would sit down at the computer and learn what my peers were learning at school. I also loved to read. I spent practically every evening in a chair with a book, and sometimes I even fell asleep that way. That's how I grew up, until I was 16. It was on my birthday that my father gathered us around the table. In sign language, he told us the good news. The company had promoted him and wanted us to move to town. It was the best birthday present ever. Imagine a real city with malls and other kids. I was beyond happy and hugged my parents. That same evening, I wrote to the city school I was about to attend. They replied that in order to transfer, I had to take a writing test and prove that my knowledge was appropriate for the class I was going to get in. I sat through the assignment all night. The test was not easy, but I did not find it difficult either. The next morning, when I checked my mail, I got a positive response. I was accepted. I was jumping up and down on my bed. My new life was starting. That same day, we packed up the car and hit the road. I looked out the window and studied the city where we'd be living. It was not big, but for a girl who just came from a small village, it was a real metropolis, just like New York. I went to school the very next day. Standing in front of the entrance, I took a deep breath and entered this unknown world. I walked to the classroom door. Invisibly nervous, I knocked. The teacher invited me in and asked me to stand at the blackboard right in front of the students.
I'd like you guys to meet Joanne Taylor. Tell us all about yourself.
I looked at the kids as they prepared to listen intently. I really wanted to say something, but I couldn't open my mouth with fear. Sweat broke out on my forehead with excitement. I suddenly started waving my hands frantically, making it clear that I wasn't going to say anything. The teacher looked at me in surprise.
Yeah, you're embarrassed. Well, take any seat you want.
I walked past the kids and took the last seat. I didn't want to draw too much attention to myself. It was uncomfortable to be here. When the bell rang for recess, I was surrounded by my classmates. They asked a lot of questions.
Why aren't you saying anything?
Strange girl, say something already. Where are you from?
Maybe she can't talk.
Someone even pointed a finger at me, thinking it would help me talk. It was the first time that happened to me, and the students' voices seemed too loud and disgusting to me. My head ached, ready to explode. I jumped up abruptly and ran out of the room. Finally, I slammed the door loudly. I ran down the hallway to get away from all the noise, and suddenly, I saw a door with a sign on it that said, Pantry. I yanked it open. It was very dark and completely empty. Perfect. I went inside and shut the door behind me, covering my ears with my hands. I breathed deeply and quickly until the voices of my classmates muffled in my head. I calmed down a little, but then, in the darkness, there was an abrupt, hello. At the same time, a flashlight turned on and illuminated the girl's pale face. I pressed myself against the wall in fear. The girl continued,
Are you hiding from the sunlight here as well?
I shook my head negatively.
I see. I can't go into the light. I'm from Romania, a descendant of Count Dracula. Light is destructive to me.
The strange girl thought about it and asked,
What are you doing here then? Developing photographic film?
I don't know why, but that silly joke made me laugh.
And you're strange, she said. Just like me. Let's be friends. I'm Alan.
Alan held out her hand to me, and I shook it. When we came out of the storeroom, I could get a better look at my new friend. Her skin was pale,
She wore only black, and even indoors, she wore dark glasses. I was glad I'd met my friend on the first day. When I got back to class and sat down at my desk, I saw that someone had written the word "freak" on it in huge letters. Naturally, I got very upset, but that wasn't the end of my troubles. The teacher came over. He said I had to go to the principal. The principal started with a question.
Miss Taylor, how do you feel about school?
I indicated with my hand that I was very well and fake smiled.
That's what I thought,
he said, thoughtfully.
I asked for your records and I know about your parents. You got a high score on the test, but...
He paused, after which I tensed.
But if you keep being silent, I will have to expel you. Do you understand?
I nodded my head and I walked out of the office. To my surprise, Alan was waiting for me. From there, we walked together. She asked,
"Why aren't you talking?"
I took a pen and a notebook from her hands and wrote, "I'm afraid I don't know how." The bell rang and Alan went to class. I decided to go home. The first day of school was awful. At home, my parents asked how it went, and I lied to them that it was amazing. And then I locked myself in my room. I turned on the TV. The movie Titanic was on. Jack was already in the water, and Rose was lying on the door. I laid down on the bed and started repeating her monologue. She was saying, "There's no way I'm giving up Jack. No way." I repeated after Rose, but though my lips were moving, I couldn't make a sound. What if I really can't talk? With that frightening thought, I fell asleep. But the next day, I had to go to school anyway. In PE, some guy yelled out at me,
"Freak!"
I turned around, and a ball came flying at me. I was so hurt, so angry. I grabbed the ball and threw it at the idiot. Even though the bully was a decent distance away, I hit the target. The guy went down like a logjam. The coach came up to me. I thought he was gonna punish me, but he just handed me a basketball and said,
"Now hit that hoop over there."
All the classmates were watching us carefully. The ring was far away. I exhaled and took aim. Alan's voice came from the bleachers.
"You can do it, girl!"
Her voice really encouraged me. I threw the ball. It hit the wooden backboard and got in the hoop. The guy who'd hurt me shouted,
"It was an accident!"
So I took another ball and threw it at him. The bully went down again. The coach smiled and patted me on the head.
"Meet the new player of the women's basketball team."
I smiled. The girls from the basketball team surrounded and congratulated me. I looked towards the bleachers and caught Aline's eyes, and I silently said to her, "Thank you." But in spite of my success in sports, I had problems with my studies. When the teacher asked me a question or called me to the blackboard, I was as quiet as a fish. This went on for a week until I was called to the principal's office again. His verdict was this.
"I'm sorry, Joan, but there are simply no teachers in our school who can teach you."
Tears streamed down my cheeks from resentment.
"Well, well, well, I'm sure you'll find another one. Here is a written notice of expulsion."
With a trembling hand, I grabbed a piece of paper.
"Give it to your parents. You can go now."
The principal put on his glasses and proceeded to fill out some documents. I jumped out of the office like a bullet. I crumpled the paper with anger and resentment and threw it in the trash like it was a basketball and ran home in tears. In the evening, I lay on my bed staring at the ceiling. I wanted nothing, nothing at all. But the sound of the phone's notification pulled me out of my depressing thoughts. I opened it and saw a message from Alan. "I'll see you tonight at the address." I thought, why not? I got ready and left the house. The navigator led me to a house decorated like it was Halloween. I knocked, but no one answered. I pushed the door open. There were arrows pointed on the wall with red paint. If I hadn't known that Alan, Dracula's descendant, lived here, I would have thought I was in the lair of a maniac, and I would have fled immediately. So, I decided to play her game. The last arrow pointed at the entrance of the basement. The light on the stairs flickered on and off. I carefully made my way down the stairs, and when I looked around, I was shocked. The basement was dimly lit by candles, and in the very center of it stood a huge coffin with a lid on it. Maybe I should have run back upstairs right away, but I'd been very curious since I was a kid. I walked closer to the coffin.
I tried to open it, but I didn't have time. And the lid of the coffin fell to the floor. And a vampire jumped out. A real one, like in horror movies. It hissed and sparkled viciously red eyes. I screamed in shock. And then I staggered back and fell. The vampire was coming towards me while holding out his pale hands. Suddenly, the light in the room was on, and I recognized Alan's face. A friend put on such a realistic makeup that would be envied in Hollywood. I was so angry. Are you crazy? I almost died of fright. Alan smiled at me, and her joy made me even more angry. What are you so happy about? I almost had a heart attack. Alan answered, "You have a very beautiful voice." It was only then that I realized what had happened. In a half whisper, slowly trying to taste every word, I repeated, "Are you sick? I almost died." I jumped up, hugged Alan, and while weeping tears of joy, I told her, "You're sick, Alan. You're sick." Alan pointedly pulled away from me. I kept dancing around the vampire's coffin and was shouting different words. I learned how to talk, and under such strange circumstances. Alan's parents came down to the basement. They looked just like a normal mother and father and smiled kindly at me. "Come to the table." And I answered them cheerfully, "Alan is sick. I almost died because of her." My friend's parents looked at each other. "Yes, she's a freak." We were sitting at the table that night. I couldn't stop talking. I'd kept silent for 16 years. I was very grateful to Alan for giving me the gift of speech. I went back to school and everything was fine.
Share this podcast to all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and so on, and you'll be given a shout out. Also drop your social media username so that we can find you. Thanks for your support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in this episode description. You should also please follow or subscribe to our other podcast My Animated Story by clicking on this episode description. And also, kindly please rate and review this podcast. Bye.
I dashed along the hallway, then skidded to a halt in front of the classroom door. I was late again.
Miss Anderson, what's your excuse today?
Morning, sir. I'm sorry, but my spaniel hit my shoes, then I tripped over a package by my front door, then my heap of a junk car wouldn't start, and...
That's enough. Good God. Please sit down. Ashley already took attendance.
What?
So much for my perfectly crafted excuse.
Mr. O'Shaughnessy totally would have let it slide, but she had to ruin it.
I'm Ashley. I'm pretty, I'm perfect, everybody likes me.
Well, no one likes teacher's pets, Ashley. Think I'm being too harsh on her? Just ask anyone about Ashley Mae Anderson.
Ashley's father's a vet with a Medal of Valor. They even had dinner with the president at the White House.
For her sweet 16, she rented out the swankiest club downtown for an entire weekend.
And David Guetta DJ'd.
Ashley dated two college boys at the same time, and when they found out, things got physical. Okay, maybe not all of that was true, but who cares? Look, the main character here is me. Hi, my name's Ashley Mae Anderson. I know, what a freaky coincidence, right? But that's the only thing we had in common. Because unlike popular Ashley, I'm just a normal teen who's just minding her own business. But then she transferred here and messed up everything. This happens every time I open my locker. And they're not addressed to me, but to Ashley. Jeez, why do boys go so cuckoo bananas over that pretentious princess? I gathered that whole cluster and dumped them on Ashley's desk. Here's your delivery for the day.
Oh, I have no use for those things. You can keep them if you want.
How snobby. I know those rumors weren't all lies. Alright, if you said so. Being mistaken for Ashley was so annoying that I did consider putting a sign on my locker or something. But I suppose sometimes it actually had its perks. Like when I accidentally knocked over a trash can in the school's parking lot. But upon knowing my name, the janitor said my father was his commanding officer back in the day and let me off. And believe it or not, these mix-ups didn't only happen at school. Once, my family went out for dinner, and the staff at this restaurant thought we were the other Andersons. They must be some really important people, cause the super attentive waiters topped up our drinks for free and gave us complimentary desserts. Pretty sweet, right? Only when we were leaving, things almost went south when the manager shook my dad's hand and said,
"Thank you for your service."
My dad seemed confused, but fortunately, I dragged him away before they busted us. I mean, Ashley's been enjoying these privileges her entire life, so it's fair I benefit a little from them. Especially since I have to endure being called her Walmart version. Anyway, back to me. I arrived home to find a teary-eyed girl sitting on her front porch. She must be one of Billy's exes. If your brother's a jock that all girls flock around, you'd get used to this real soon. He went through girlfriends quicker than hair gel, and he always had some peeves about them, like Mandy, too clingy, Katie, too dramatic, Maggie, too flirty. The list goes on. Then, as soon as my backpack hit the bedroom floor, my door burst open.
"Hey, I need your help."
"What? Need a hand to make up with Cry Barbie out there?
She's ancient history. Check this out. Her name's Jane Brown. Ain't she a beaut?"
I immediately recognized her. She's the waitress that he kept eyeing the other day. Now, he needed my help to ask her out and not seem creepy. So, I suggested taking her to his friend Alexander's party this weekend.
"How do you know about that? Isn't that cool people exclusive?"
As if I wanted to. I was added to their group chat by accident because they thought I was Ashley.
Right. Hot Ashley. You should come too. I'll be with Jane, but Victor will be there.
Wait, I'll see my crush at that stupid party?
Sign me up then!
Jocks, cheerleaders, stuck-up kids. This place was packed with people like Billy. My brother briefly introduced me to the host Alexander, while Madison followed him around looking all shy and gooey-eyed. Wasn't she bothered that all Alexander seemed to care about was if anyone had seen Ashley? I also got to officially meet Jane, but the person I was looking for was Victor. He's so much more than just a cute face in the crowd. He's the peanut butter to my jelly. But before I could talk to him, a bunch of dudes popped out of nowhere.
"This is Ashley? Oh man, I thought she was supposed to be pretty. No offense though. She's a 6 if you squint hard enough."
I'm squinting now and you're barely even a 2 yourself.
No offense though.
What did you say?
Don't worry, you could still go after pretty girls. They just need a crate of fear first. The crowd suddenly felt silent and stared at us. This party is so lame. Peace out, losers. Anywhere is better than a stuffy elitist hellhole, but it's a bummer I didn't get to talk to Victor. He's Billy's best bro and used to come hang out at our place pretty much every day, but not anymore. Guess he's been avoiding me ever since I told him I had feelings for him. I was going to settle things with him tonight, but those jerks ruined it. Do I need to print my own t-shirt saying, "I'm Ashley, you must be looking for Ashley"? The next day, while looking for Victor, I heard someone calling my name, but I turned around only to see Alexander calling for, Ashley. So annoying. I saw him make a move on her, but she said guys like him bored her, then proceeded to list all his flaws. Oof, harsh. From then on, I tried my best to avoid Ashley, and thought my life would be light and breezy. But nope. On the contrary, I found myself in a series of unfortunate events. One day, a stack of religious magazines randomly showed up on our doorstep. But the real kicker was, they were all addressed specifically to me! And there was absolutely no way to convince my family and neighbors that I wasn't a member of the Church of Scientology. 2 days later, all of my clean clothes had some weird stains and holes on them. I had to beg Billy to lend me some of his. That day, I went to school in an old jersey, looking like a midget. Then, this Monday, I became the center of attention by showing up with my face covered in pimple patches and band-aids. Well, that's because I woke up to countless cystic acne and didn't have enough patches. This resulted in me being called the mummy for 5 days straight. But the final straw was my car having 2 flat tires! The clock was ticking, so I asked Billy to take me to school. However, he just flat out refused, saying he'd already promised to pick Jane up. No other choice. I had to ride my old bike. When I saw Billy's car in the driveway, my pettiness got the better of me, so I splashed my half-empty milk carton over the windshield. I'm on my way.
Oh my god, you little brat!
Sorry, babe, you won't believe what my sister just did.
Seeing Billy's reaction was chef's kiss. Ha! You got it coming, big bro. The next day, my car was fixed, so I managed to get to school early. Looks like my string of bad luck was finally over. Okay, let's see who wants to confess to Queen Ashley today. From Victor? Oh no, why him? I stood there, frozen with a letter in my hand, still processing the situation when a friend came and showed me something on her phone. It's a video of me singing and dancing in my room! No one's supposed to see this, ever! It had been uploaded by some throwaway account, but who else could it be but... Jesus Christ! Billy! I rushed home to see Billy and Jane cuddling in the living room. How's he still so calm after pulling that on me? I confronted him, and he didn't even bother denying it, and even said that's what I deserved for vandalizing his car. We screamed and shouted at each other, but before we ended up in a fistfight, he stopped and stomped off to his room. I was still fuming, glaring at his shadow, when I saw Jane gawping at me in delight.
Don't blame your poor brother too much, dear. It was I who pulled the strings.
What? Jane? But why? We'd barely even interacted. Then she went on about all of my mishaps lately were her doings. Yep, my so-called bad luck, it had been Jane all along.
That's for stealing Alexander from my sister. He's her first love. Do you know how heartbroken Zoe has been?
Wait, Zoe who? And why on earth would I choose to mingle with that playboy Alex? Kudos to this girl for thinking I could ever steal someone's boyfriend. Hello, I'm still struggling with my lifelong crush over here. I tried to tell her she made a mistake, but she wouldn't listen.
Stop denying it. I know it's you.
You're East High's Ashley with a vet dad. That checked all the boxes already.
Hold up. There's another Ashley Mae Anderson in our school. She's Ashley with EY. I'm Ashley, EIGH. Her dad is a war veteran. My father is a veterinarian. Oh, snap.
Good lord. She devised this intricate plan, approached Billy just to make it work, and was successful for the most part. Well, apart from having the wrong person. Just amazing. Jane apologized and promised to take down the video. However, she wanted me to help her take revenge on Ashley in return. I didn't want to get involved, but I also never wanted to be on her bad side again, so I reluctantly agreed. But if you think about it, Jane's story didn't quite add up. Ashley seemed to have a holier-than-thou attitude and had dozens of admirers waiting in line. Why would she get in between them? Not to mention, Alexander's a notorious player who Ashley already ruthlessly rejected. I believe there's more to this. As expected, thanks to that video, my school life was now even more awkward than usual. But it didn't matter, as I was too preoccupied with Operation Ashley. Today's mission? Approach her after cheerleading practice. I stood in the corner, behind the bleacher, waiting for my chance. But before I showed myself, I saw Madison march over, say something to Ashley, then storm off. After that, Ashley started sobbing? I didn't know what happened, but I felt bad for her. So I tried comforting her, but she kept brushing me off. Look, you can keep the Ice Queen act all you want, but I know you have feelings too. I thought you might have something else you want to share with me, not just the name. And it was like I pulled a lever that let out all of her bottled up emotions, and we had a heart-to-heart all afternoon. Just as I thought, things weren't what they seemed. We'd better talk this through with one another. So I set up a meeting at a cafe in the South Coast Plaza, as they wouldn't dare to cause a scene in public, right? Anyway, Ashley clarified that Alexander and her weren't a thing, while assuring Zoe that she deserved a guy much better than him.
But Alex was really sweet to me. He gave me this present on our 1 month anniversary.
Did he say it's his grandmother's?
Yeah, he tried giving me an identical one on my birthday.
I'd say you dodged a bullet when you two broke up.
Please, look at yourself first. You two flirt with boys left and right and still act all high and mighty. Get off that high horse.
Ashley seemed genuinely hurt by Jane's words that it took her a while to speak up.
I'm just sick and tired of being the popular girl who has to live up to everyone's expectations. It's too exhausting. I thought transferring here would mean a fresh start, but everyone still has this impression of me, which I can't seem to change.
The rest of us looked at each other in confusion when we saw how sad Ashley's situation actually was. We didn't know there were so many downsides to being high school popular.
Ashley, you know you can just be yourself, right?
The world will have to accept you for who you truly are. If people don't like you, then so be it.
Yeah, if they don't, that's their problem, not yours. You can't fit into a mold to please everyone, because there's no such thing.
I don't want to agree with her, but she has a point. Let the whole world know the real Ashley, and you too, Zoe. Someday, you'll find a good guy who loves you for yourself.
Alright girls, that's settled. Now, I have to deal with my own mess. Billy found out the truth and now he's been ghosting me.
But I swear to God, I'm in love with this guy. Gotta go. Bye!
I couldn't believe I was rooting for my saboteur and her accomplice to be together. But here I was.
Go get him, Tiger!
The next Monday, Ashley walked to class and had lunch with me instead of Madison and her clique. And of course, this didn't go unnoticed.
You left us for her? What is she? You're not hot, sister?
Before I could clap back, Ashley stood up and unleashed her inner sass.
This is me living my life as my true self. If any of you bootlickers have something to say about that, you can shove it where the sun won't shine.
Sweet Mary Jesus and Holy Spirits! Who knew she had it in her?
Her words completely decimated those hyenas. And suddenly, someone grabbed my wrist.
Victor?
Slow down! Where are you taking me? Besides, you got the wrong person, and also the wrong address for this. You should give it to her yourself.
Actually, I sent it to the right girl, but apparently, she still hasn't opened it.
Wait... What?
And you're right. I should tell her myself. It's just that Billy and I made a deal that sisters are off limits, so I thought it's better to avoid you. But hearing Ashley talk about being herself made me realize that I'm sick of hiding my feelings. I'm gonna make Billy see how sincere I am for you. Before I do that, Ashley, I like you. And, will you go on a date with me?
Yes! I mean, yeah, I suppose that would be cool. This is beyond my wildest dream! Not only do I have a brand new friend, but also a date with my dream guy! Fortune is finally smiling on me.
I couldn't believe my eyes. A hidden camera, right in my room. This couldn't be happening. Who installed it? And how did I not see it? Hi, my name's Susan, and you would never believe the story I'm about to tell you. I wouldn't believe it either, and to be honest, I still don't. I'll start by saying that ever since I was a kid, I've been considered weird. Yeah, my hobbies are not what you'd call ordinary. I used to watch videos about conspiracy theories. I believed in ghosts and the afterlife. I saw signs in everything. My friends and parents had gotten used to my peculiarities a long time ago. My mom and dad were more concerned that I was doing well in school and not hanging with shady people. My friends, on the other hand, appreciated my sense of humor and openness. And all was well until the night when I first noticed something strange. My friends and I were coming home from the movie theater, discussing the movie and making plans. Usually, we walk together to the same intersection, and then we go our separate ways home. We wished each other good night, exchanged jokes, and I turned onto my street. I was in a good mood. I walked past the houses and smiled to myself. But the smile disappeared from my face when I put my hand in my pocket to get my headphones. The pocket was empty. Oh, damn. I lost my headphones that my parents had given me for my birthday years ago. Maybe I dropped them on the way? With a sigh, I headed back to the intersection, hoping that my headphones were still lying on the pavement somewhere. As I turned to the corner, however, I instantly forgot about losing them. My friends, who seemed to have gone home at the same time as I did, were standing at the same intersection where we said goodbye, arguing about something. I froze and opened my mouth to call out to my friends. Suddenly, Owen saw me. "It's Susan!" he yelled. The guy's faces changed, and they started running away. I was still standing at the intersection, not
really sure what was going on. I had no choice but to turn around and go home, giving up on my lost headphones. So, what was that all about? I asked this question in our shared chat room. What do you mean? Owen replied immediately. Don't make a fool out of me. I saw you at the intersection. You ran away as soon as you saw me. The chat was silent for about 5 minutes. I saw the guys were typing something, but they never sent it. I could bet that outside of the chat, they were discussing how to respond. You're making things up again, Susan, finally wrote Tori. Did you watch your weird reptiloid videos all night again? The others responded with smiley faces. Oh, really? Of course, the best defense is offense. And actually, reptiloids do exist. I'll see how these geniuses laugh when the lizards take over the planet. I decided not to respond and tossed the phone aside. And these are my best friends? I watched the notifications from the shared chat pop on my phone all evening, but I didn't respond. Surely, they were making wisecracks about my imagination. But the strange things didn't stop there. In the morning on my way down to breakfast, I heard my parents talking, and I almost fell down the stairs. They clearly weren't ready for me to get up so early. What do we need to talk about? Dad asked. I never had time to read the message. I had a lot of work to do. John, you're being irresponsible about your role. Mom answered. We need to say that Aunt Jacqueline is sick, and we need to visit her next week.
That doesn't sound believable, to be honest.
Well, what can I do? They told me to improvise, and I last acted in a school play about 20 years ago. What does it all mean? What kind of roles are they talking about? Meanwhile, my parents finished their strange conversation, and my mother shouted, Susan, breakfast is ready! I had to go downstairs and pretend I didn't hear anything. Of course, my appetite was out of the question. Thoughts swirled in my head, one more suspicious than the next. My friends obviously wanted to discuss something without me. This has never happened before. We always did everything together and had no secrets from each other. My parents were up to something too and made up some crazy story about Aunt Jacqueline. Just so you understand, my Aunt Jacqueline is a very rich and very unpleasant person. Even on her deathbed, she wouldn't want to have poor people like us hanging around her. So, the story my parents were going to tell me was a total fail. But that's not what surprised me. They said to improvise. Who's they? Ugh, all this weirdness is worthy of the Shane Dawson channel. I'd love to jump to a conclusion or two, but I had absolutely no clue as to what was going on. I wanted to keep a closer eye on my parents' behavior, and I decided not to communicate with my friends at all for now. I was so offended by what they said. I was so angry that they made me look like a freak. So I'll let them hang out without me until they admit what they did was wrong. And they can explain their bizarre behavior. Well, for the next few days, my parents didn't raise any suspicions, as if they knew I was watching them closely. We usually spent Friday nights together. We'd have a nice dinner, and then we'd sit in front of the TV and watch a movie. We have a rule in our family. We take turns choosing a movie. 1 week it was Mom, next week it was Dad, and the week after, it was my turn. If it wasn't for this rule, I would have only survived family movie nights for a couple of months. My parents would usually pick some old movie, and I would almost fall asleep in the middle of it. But when it was my turn, we always had a great time. Well, at least I did. This Friday, I was out of luck. My mother, as usual, chose some old sob story. But this time, I didn't manage to get any sleep. The movie was called The Truman Show, and it was about a man who one day discovers that his whole life was a reality show. There were cameras everywhere. Every event in his life was directed by a genius producer. And the people, even those closest to him, are just actors playing parts. I forgot how to breathe. The credits were rolling on the screen, and I still couldn't get my thoughts together. Susan, is everything okay? Mom put her hand on my shoulder. Yeah. I stared at her. They said to improvise. Mom's words played in my head like a broken record, and my friends discussing something behind my back. And then pretending it didn't happen.
This couldn't be happening. Of course I couldn't sleep that night. Rolling from side to side, I tried to calm down and prove to myself that there was no reality show featuring me. It was a ridiculous idea. I could write a book with my wild imagination. I decided to bring my teddy bear Barney to bed. When I was a kid, he always helped me fall asleep quickly. But at some point, I decided that sleeping with a teddy bear at my age was stupid. Since then, Barney had settled on the shelf above my desk. I haven't picked him up for such a long time, and I wish I hadn't. Once I looked at his cute face, I screamed and dropped the toy on the floor. No way! As I took Barney into my hands again and looked closely, I felt my insides freeze. The hidden camera. It was installed in the right eye of my teddy bear. Who installed it? And what was it filming? Is my whole life a scripted show, like in that movie? My parents came running into the room. When my mom saw Barney in my arms, she gasped and stared at my dad. Why didn't you tell me the truth? I screamed. What do you mean? Dad looked at Mom disapprovingly. Didn't you tell her everything? I should have, but I forgot. Susan, it's... You forgot? I threw the bear to the floor. Forgot to tell me that my whole life is a stupid reality show! And you're complete strangers to me! How could you forget that?
Honey, Dad said softly, don't be so dramatic.
What's he talking about? What do you mean dramatic? Now I knew what that strange remark from Mom meant. My parents suggested we talk about this in the morning, over breakfast, without getting too emotional. They took Barney and cautiously left the room, clearly afraid of making me more angry. I was in shock. What was I supposed to do now? Where to go if everything around me isn't real? I grabbed my phone and opened the group chat room. My friends, for days now, have been trying in vain to work things out with me by sending me funny stickers and asking how I was doing and how long I was going to stay mad. Stay mad? I know everything! Despite the late hour, my message was immediately read by everyone in the chat room. Barry was the first to respond. I knew it was a stupid idea. Well, you should have thought of something different, Monica replied.
Susan, we're sorry we tricked you. We had no other choice.
Owen added a crying smiley face. I started typing, feeling tears well up in my eyes. What do you mean there was no other way out? My whole life is ruined. Now I don't know what's true and what's a lie. Who are my real friends and who are the actors who are paid to pretend to be my friends? Sue? You're obviously overreacting, Tori said. I felt like smashing the phone against the wall. Overreacting? My whole life is a freaking reality show, and I'm overreacting?
Susan, I don't really understand what you mean.
Barry stepped in again. We just wanted to surprise you. I know those headphones were dear to you, but the ones we got you are mind-blowing. What other headphones? I was totally confused about what was going on. And then my friends, interrupting each other, began to tell me their vision of what was happening. As it turned out, they'd long noticed that my headphones were barely alive. Barry, Owen, Tori, and Monica decided to chip in and buy me the coolest new headphones. And to make sure I would use them, they decided to steal my old headphones. And that's what my friends did that day at the movie theater.
I swear, Sue, you're gonna go crazy when you hear those basses,
raved Owen. Wait a minute. You wrote that you knew everything. What did you mean by that? I didn't know what to answer, Tori. I didn't want to look any weirder than I was. Okay, this part of the story seemed pretty believable. But what the hell was up with the camera in my room? That's what my parents told me at breakfast. We installed hidden cameras a long time ago, Mom explained. There's more than one in the house, one per room. But don't worry, we only turn them on when the whole family goes on vacation. I should have told you about it, but I forgot. I got carried away.
Actually, it's strange that you've only noticed them now, dear.
Daddy frowned.
How do you clean your room?
Again, the best defense is a good offense. But what about the one sentence that scarred me so much? Our friends invited us to a spa hotel next week. To relax, to have fun, Mom said. We were embarrassed that we weren't taking you with us, and we didn't want you to think we were tired of you. To be honest, I still didn't fully believe their explanations. Too many coincidences, don't you think? Or maybe I am living in a reality show. But then, how do I know for sure? Please, share your opinion in the comments. And if you like my story, subscribe to our channel and like this video.
Hi everyone, my name is Caroline, and I was homeless until the moment when billionaires took me to live in their luxurious mansion. Wondering how that happened? Stay tuned! One cold fall evening, I was trying to find money for food. Well, or just food, I didn't care. Ask me how it happened that I became homeless? Well, my parents died a couple of years ago, and I couldn't live in an orphanage because the local kids abused me. At one point, I ran away, figuring the streets would be easier for me. That night, I couldn't find a cent on the street and had already resigned myself to starving. Suddenly, I saw a well-dressed woman on her way to the supermarket. I immediately ran up to her and tried to steal her purse. Believe me, it wasn't my first robbery. The street dictates its own rules. However, at that very minute, some guy was right next to us. He pushed me away.
Get lost, tramp, or you'll be in trouble.
He threatened me with his fist. I didn't want to confront him and ran away. Well, now I had no food and money. But the next day, I had a surprise. The woman I was trying to steal from found me outside the supermarket, handed me a full bag of food and a warm jacket. Thank you, but why? You're too good to me. I tried to rob you. I had tears of gratitude in my eyes.
I know you had to do it because of the way you live.
She smiled.
What's your name?
Caroline.
And why are you on the streets at such a young age?
I told her the story of my life. The woman wept and promised to help me. I expected her to give me some more warm clothes and a sleeping bag and lots of food. But what happened next didn't just shock me. It killed me. In a good way, don't worry. A woman arrived in a luxury car with her husband. At this time, I was eating a baguette, trying to stretch it out into the evening.
Well, that's it, Caroline. You're coming to live with us now,
said my savior, and smiled.
What?
I was so shocked. I choked on a piece of baguette.
A girl like you shouldn't be living on the streets. We want to adopt you. Is that what you want too? She asked.
Of course I said yes. And who wouldn't refuse in my place? On the way, I was modestly silent and terribly worried. And when we arrived, I was speechless. Now I'm going to live in a luxurious mansion, like a real castle. I was incredibly happy, until I saw the guy defending my new mom.
Oh, I forgot all about him. I bet he wouldn't be happy to have me in his house. Who the hell is she?
He frowned at me as we got out of the car.
Nick, this is your new sister, Caroline. We've decided to adopt her. Are you out of your mind? She's the tramp who tried to rob you, Mom. Nick, I get it, but it's my decision and your father's. We always wanted a second child, but you know yourself that we can't have any more. So get a normal kid from an orphanage. Nick, Caroline lives here now. Accept it,
said the father sternly. Nick immediately calmed down. His father seemed to be an authority he didn't risk arguing with. The boy muttered something to himself and went into the house, slamming the door loudly. Mr. and Mrs. Gilbert showed me my room, which I was absolutely delighted with. A huge bed, my own walk-in closet, lots of new and beautiful things, and a private bathroom. It's like heaven. I couldn't even dream of that. I immediately fell on my bed and cried with happiness. Now I had a home and a family. I'm not alone. But I was having trouble with Nick. I tried to get through to him, but the guy was stubbornly ignoring me. But what pissed Nick off the most was that his best friend had found common ground with me. Brian was a nice young man. He treated me like a regular girl, even though he knew I was from the streets. He helped me study. When my parents hired teachers to homeschool me, he talked to me and even taught me how to play PlayStation. And then one day, I overheard an unpleasant conversation.
How can you socialize with that tramp?
Nick asked angrily.
She's normal. It's your sister.
She's not my sister. She's the trash of society.
I felt so hurt by those words. I couldn't hold back my tears. I went down to the living room and stared at a picture on the wall for a long time. I really liked the painting. I couldn't help myself, so I went and touched it.
If you touch it again, you're out of the house.
Nick threatened me when he came in.
What? If I find you stole something or invited your tramp friends over, I'm not gonna be nice to you. I'll throw you all out.
I don't want to steal anything. For the first time, I decided to stand up for myself. I'm not what you think I am.
And you'd know that if you weren't such a jerk.
We would have kept fighting, but my parents came back. They gave me an expensive phone with a bunch of diamonds on it. Nick just snorted and went back to his room. And I was as happy as a baby. The next day, I decided to take a little walk. It was a beautiful day. I was listening to music on my phone when suddenly I was stopped by some vagrants with whom I used to feud. The thing is, I've always been on my own, and a lot of people didn't like it. Seeing me in my new clothes and with a cool new phone like this, the tramps just jumped on me without a word, stealing all my money, phone, and even my new jacket. They did me bad, and I sat down on the pavement and cried. How bad I felt. But then help came from somewhere I didn't expect. Nick was there. He helped me up and asked me what happened to me. When he heard about the tramps, he called his friends to deal with my abusers. Honestly, my heart almost stopped when Nick and his friends fought the vagrants. The guys took my stuff back, and we ran from the cops, laughing for some reason. Nick, thank you so much. I hugged him. You're the best brother ever. The guy blushed and didn't say anything back, but I wasn't offended, because his actions were more eloquent than words. When we got home, Mom was shocked to see a battered Nick. He brushed it off and said it was okay. My father, on the other hand, was not happy about it. The thing is, my adoptive parents are billionaires, and reputation is very important to them. They were afraid of any scandal, so they raised Nick in a strict manner to keep him out of trouble. Nick got very angry when his father told him off, so I decided to console my brother. As it turned out, it pissed Nick off that he lived in a rich family in the first place.
You see, money is a weapon to reach some goals, but it's not about happiness. My dad wants me to carry on his business, and I want to be a doctor, and we fight about it all the time.
I even felt sorry for Nick, even though I didn't understand him. He had everything since he was a kid, but he doesn't appreciate it because it's not money that matters to him. It's the dream. If he lived in the street, he'd start appreciating everything he has. But then I realized what Nick meant. My father had arranged a business meeting at home with his partners, ordering Nick to attend. I could see that Nick wasn't interested at all. He even got hung up on the phone a few times, for which he received a stern reprimand from Father. My father, very cleverly, without descending to insults, humiliated Nick. I felt really bad for my brother. So, I stood up for him. Dad smiled at me and said that I didn't understand anything, and that he knew better how to make his son happy, and more importantly, rich. Nick was touched that I stood up for him, and for the first time, he called me sister and hugged me.
Thank you. No one ever stood up for me, he said.
I believe in you, Nick. Don't give up. Follow your dreams to the end. But I didn't think my words would have that effect on him. The thing is, that night, Nick ran away from home. He left a note in the living room, saying he'd rather be lonely and poor, but happy and free. My parents immediately pulled all the strings to find my brother, and my heart froze with fear. What if something happened to him? Then it would be all my fault. I was the one who encouraged him to follow his dream. Idiot! My parents couldn't sit still, so they went looking for Nick too. It didn't take us long to find my brother. He was surrounded by a gang of vagrants who wanted to get back at Nick for the last incident. They wanted to attack him in a group. We jumped out of the car right away, scared off all the vagrants, and took Nick away.
Son, that's not manly. You ran away like a coward. I ran away because I'm sick of you. I don't want to go into business. My goal is to help people and heal them.
This argument went on all the way. At one point, Dad got so nervous, he lost control of the car. We hit a pole. Nick hit his head hard on the dashboard. My mom and I got scared. Dad seemed fine. My brother lost consciousness, and Mom immediately dialed 911. What kind of misfortune is following us? Luckily, Nick wasn't seriously injured, but we were so scared for him. We cried in the room while they bandaged his head.
I'm fine. Don't worry. He smiled at us. It must have had some effect on my father, and he mellowed. Nick, after all, was allowed to study to be a doctor. He was no longer bogged down with business meetings, which my brother hated so much. But there was another problem. You haven't forgotten about Nick's best friend Brian, have you? Well, he confessed his feelings to me. I was speechless. I didn't see Brian as a boyfriend. He was a friend to me. Nick, on the other hand, was very concerned. He was against us dating.
But why?
Brian asked. She's my sister, and you're my best friend. This is a bad idea.
It wasn't so long ago that you didn't think of her as your sister.
A lot has changed, Brian. I'm against it. I don't want her to be in a relationship right now, and then suffer through a breakup or a fight. Caroline needs to study.
Brian didn't like that. Then I had to get into a dialogue and explain to the guy that I wasn't interested in relationships yet. Brian got upset, but didn't insist on anything. Eventually, I got used to the luxurious life, and Nick became not just my brother, but my best friend, with whom I could talk to about anything. I'm glad this family came into my life. It's because of them that everything has changed for the better. Would you like to live in a billionaire family? Write your answers in the comments. I'd be interested to read them. Also, don't forget to share the video with your friends. Bye!